us to hear, because this is the foundation. This is where I want to start everything today. Here we go. Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, how majestic is your name. It fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. And this is for today. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength. And how great is that? Today we get to raise with one voice all together in unity, and we get to sing praises to God. And then there are some people who are going to come up here and are going to share with us who Jesus is to them. And we get to celebrate that. So if you are not excited, then we want to set the stage. Time for you to get excited. God is doing great things in our community, in our church, in our lives, and today we get to celebrate that. So, would you stand as we open in prayer, and then we'll open with some singing. So Jesus, we come before you, your majestic name. You are worthy of being King of everything. So today we declare that. We declare who you are. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Holy, holy, holy. And we respond to what you've done, to who you are, with our praises, with our worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, would you sing about the grace that God has given us?
Came down and raised, rescued me. I see the sound, what's lost, now found. Came down and raised, rescued me. I see the sound, what's lost, now found. Came down. grace because he loves us. It's so amazing. I'm really excited to see and hear all these testimonies from you today of all these people who've chosen to put their trust in Jesus. I know it's a story for a lot of us here.
Your story is, but I know that God has a place for you. And sure, this is just a picture, a diagram that represents it. But I read it to the people that came on Wednesday to practice sharing their testimonies before they had to come up here, the 8 people being baptized. And I want you to know this if you don't know anything else after today. God said this to the Israelites, the chosen people, and I am convinced that he is choosing you today. And this is what he says, I love you. The story of Malachi is when the people of God disowned him, got taken away to a foreign country, came back, and they spent more time building their own kingdom, their own homes. And they ignored God. They didn't know who he was. They treated him with contempt. And God's response to these people who ignored the one who gave them everything was, I love you. So I want you to know that. We're going to go through a bunch of things. I want to show you what baptism is theologically. I want to give you the story of Jesus. But I want this, the praise, the song, the worship that we gave, the heart where we say, God, I am available. I want us to start with the knowledge, the renewing of our mind that says, from God himself, who loved you so much, I love you. I love you. So, open my marker. I'm going to doodle on this pad. I'm not a proficient artist without a mouse. Give me a mouse, I can do a lot better. But I want to share a story with you. This week, you've been watching the news. Like some crazy things happened in the States. Crazy outspoken guy who lived his faith, intertwined it with his politics, was assassinated. And
I don't know. Well, when you turn on the news, we see that this world is pretty messed up, right? With all the violence and the terrorism, the world that we live in, you and I, it's broken. It's damaged. But I wonder if hunger points to food, if being thirsty points to something great to drink, something like water, then our broken world, the pain that we feel, the things that we see going on us, on around us, I wonder if they point us to something better than this brokenness. And in the Christian worldview, there was something better. There is something better. There's a world where we live in peace and harmony. We were designed, we were created to love one another, to be in relationship with God. God created us to be in relationship with Him, to respond to Him with our praise and worship. And everything was perfect. Everything was designed for good. But if everything was designed for good, how did we get here to this broken world? What changed? We decided one day that we were going to run the show. I don't know if you've been there. I like to be in charge of things. And we started chasing our own needs above caring for other people and caring for the world around us. We put our needs above what God wanted for us and created for us. We started damaging everything. And it's great to know that God actually loves us way too much to leave us in this broken place where everything is damaged by evil. So even in our brokenness, 2,000 years ago, Christ came. God came Himself in the flesh to come and be in relationship with us, with you and me, to help fix this planet, to make it great again, to take the brokenness and to bring His kingdom into the middle of it, right here and right now. He came to restore it for better. So He taught us in His life and in His death, in His resurrection, that there's new life, there's new possibilities, there's a future, there's a hope. And everything is restored. And this sounds great. This sounds awesome. And so what's our response? How do we respond to this? The perfect world He created that was damaged by evil, He's now restoring for better. How do you and I fit in there? Well, in this world that's still messed up, Jesus is starting a revolution. He's asking you and me to go out and to be healed in Jesus' name, to go and heal others in Jesus' name. He's sending us out, maybe you've heard this, two by two, to go into all the world and to bring that healing, to preach the good news of Jesus, and to take this broken world. We are sent together to heal. So I want to ask you, where are you? Which circle do you see right now? Are you over here where you think the world is peachy? Everything's great. I'm on the up. Or are you over here, overwhelmed with the world's problems? Maybe you're here and you've got this sense that God is working in your life, but you're not quite involved in his mission over here. You're trying to make this world a better place, but maybe you don't understand how God fits in with it. And it makes us think and believe that, well, why can't we just go from this damaged by evil to go and heal it? Why can't we just go across? But there's this great divide. The problem is too big. We can't handle it on our own. We need someone else to carry us through. Well, if you're in this corner where you think the world is peachy, well, we've already talked about this. The world is messed up, so you'd be avoiding reality. The invitation then is for you to see the world as it really is. But some of you chose this circle because you're overwhelmed by the evil in the world, maybe even the evil in your own heart. And Jesus responds by offering us two different things: hope and forgiveness. Here's the hope. Jesus and his followers, the sent ones, the ones together to go out and heal, they've been involved in this revolution. And for the last 2,000 years, all the great things that are happening around the world are spearheaded by Christians. If you think of stuff like human rights, civil rights, public education, hospitals, even recently more with women's suffrage or the abolitionist movement, rights for the disabled, these are all spearheaded by Christian believers. Jesus and his followers have been on this movement for the last 2,000 years. And in the end of time, we will all live in a world where there is no longer evil. That's the hope. We get to be part of this. But there's also forgiveness. I know the junk in my own heart. We all know it. The things that we need to work through. The stuff that created this in the first place. He offers us forgiveness so that we can join this movement without guilt or shame. Some of us chose this circle because we're followers of Jesus. But we're not quite part of healing this world yet. And Jesus wants to make it clear to you today, if you're not part of this, then you're also not part of this. If we're not part of going out and reaching the world, then we're doing the exact opposite of loving our God and loving our neighbor. But some of us live here because we want to be part of healing the world. But often it's hard to see how spirituality, how God, how the church, how all of these things fit in with that. We want to go, we want to fix the things, but it's complicated. And the rub is this: if there's a lot of evil in the world, the only way to respond to that, the only lasting good in a context of evil, is the love of Christ. We can't do it through anger. We can't do it through hatred. We can't do it even because of the responses that are required politically. We can't do it through our pride or our fears. We can't do it through hard work. The only way to do it is through Christ's love. And Jesus, in his love for us, offers a chance to be fully loved in and of ourselves. And in that, to spread out into our relationship, into our attitude, all towards the world. And so through Jesus, we can become the greatest lovers on the planet. In doing this, we can bring the greatest amount of good, no matter what circle you choose. So Jesus wants us to respond to this in two ways. First, he wants us to change our minds. A complete shift in perspective to say that I don't want to live like this anymore. Instead, there has to be a better way. A new worldview where the world isn't the center of it, but Christ's kingdom is. God, we're sorry for living this way for my own desires, my own future. But I want to live for you. You can have it all. I'm available. And secondly, not just a change in mind, but a change in perspective. It doesn't point in anymore. We now point out. He wants us to trust him, to trust in God, to seek his ways, to ultimately trust him so much that we allow him to be the leader of every decision in our life. So he can change us from the inside out, our relationships, our marriages, our families, our community. God wants to heal the world through us. So, sitting there, watching this presentation, how does it sound? Do you want to let Jesus be the leader of your life?
So as you think about all that, because that's a lot, what is this? Why do we do baptism? There's a lot of thoughts or opinions even, or interpretations on why we do baptism. The thing above all else is it's a celebration. We celebrate who Jesus is, what he's done, what he's going to do even today, right now, and then what he's going to do in the future. It's a celebration of who Jesus is. So why do we do this as Christians in this church? Why do we get baptized? I think the first and the easiest thing to remember to think about is Jesus himself got baptized. And so who are we that we are better than the Son of God? So we too, in the same way, get baptized. Jesus, he himself went down into the water to fulfill all the requirements of the law. We too obey what the Father has commanded. And then we do it to tell the story of what God has done in us. And so often, we find ourselves in spaces and places that are damaged, that are evil. And we as Christians, we as people who live in light, get to bring that light to all around us. We share what God has done. So we get baptized because it spreads, it shares what God has done. It becomes a witness. But then it's also something that is very symbolic and even something mystical and mysterious that happens. The Bible talks about how when we go down in the water, we identify, we can almost understand a little bit what it was like for Jesus when he died, when he went down in the water. And so today you're going to see people go down in the water where they themselves get to identify with Jesus' death, where they are not the people that they were before. But then they don't stay there, they don't stay in the death just like Jesus never stayed in the tomb. Because 3 days later, he rose again. He came back to life. It's a miracle. And in the same way, we too can identify with Jesus' resurrection when we come back out of that water and we declare that we are not the same. What once was has now passed away. We become a new creation in Christ. So there's something symbolic, but also something mysterious that happens. And you all get to be witness to that today. And you might think, well, does this save me? If I get baptized, if I go down and come back up, is this what makes me right with God? And I have to tell you, no. Nothing that we can do on our own strength makes us good enough. There's nothing we can do on earth, no right deed, no good thing makes us righteous with God. It is only through Jesus. So baptism doesn't save us. It's the confirmation of what has already happened in our lives. What God has done. So you might be here today. You might have seen this damaged world. You might have put yourself in one of these camps. This is the moment that's set apart, that's special. God has brought you here. You're not here by accident. You're here for a purpose. And when there's this moment that Jesus brings us to, whether you understand that or not, he's calling you to himself. And so maybe you don't understand fully what this tank means. Maybe you don't understand what this illustration means, but you know that you have something inside of yourself that you can't fix. I know for me, it was depression. I got radically healed. Haven't been depressed a day since. That's my testimony. Radically healed. So maybe you're here and you need something, a healing, a restoration. Maybe you've been oppressed through the generations. Your family has had things come against them. And maybe today, right now, in this space, you get to receive something. Freedom. Salvation. Something that you couldn't earn. Something that you can't do on your own strength. So why don't you bow your head right now and close your eyes, because sometimes it helps me to see Jesus with my eyes closed. And while you're in this space, I truly believe that there is for sure one person here. So Holy Spirit, point them out. Let their hearts start to pound. Let them feel you calling them. There's this story in the Bible where he leaves everyone else, all the rest of the sheep, all the ones that he takes care of, and he goes after the one. Whether there's one or two, I don't think it matters, because you're the one in this space. So while you have your head bowed and your eyes closed, no one's looking around, I want you to slip up your hand. This is you saying, yeah, I maybe don't understand it fully, but there's something in me that wants this. So I'm going to count down from three. And if you want to say yes to Jesus, maybe for the first time, or maybe this is you coming back again, I want you to slip up your hand in 3, 2, 1. Yeah, there's hands going up all across this place. Amen, amen. So why don't we all pray this prayer together? Because we're one body. We're not divided. We are one body in Christ. So repeat after me, Jesus, I give you my life. Come on, church, let's pray this together. Jesus, I give you my life again. Take all of my shame and take all of my sorrow. Replace it with joy and replace it with security. Your way is my way. I make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you give a huge round of applause? Because there was a lot of people that just prayed that prayer today. The Bible says that once you were dead, now you're alive. How could it be? It's a miracle. It's that simple. Not because of us, not because of what we can do, but because of Jesus' love for us. He calls us back into a relationship. So if you're one of those people that made that decision today, I want you to come either talk to me or anyone that you've seen on the stage, or maybe your family you're here with, I want you to tell them that you made this decision. Because just like you're going to see all these people do, they're going to testify. We believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. We say, yes, I've chosen the Lord. And more so than that, the Lord has chosen me. You're part of our family. So we're going to invite the first two people getting baptized up here to do what we have done. Those two people are Sam and Jocelyn. If you want to come up.
Come on up here, Sam. If you don't know this young man, his name is Sam Frazier. And I am privileged to be his pastor. Are you ready?
Yep.
Are you nervous? Here we go.
So, my name is Sam, and today I've decided to get baptized and show publicly that I've given my whole life and career to Jesus and that I want to follow him for the rest of my life. I grew up in a Christian home and followed Jesus my whole life, but during the first 7 to 9 years of my life, my faith was my parents and not my own. I do not remember the exact date of which I accepted Jesus into my heart, but I do remember being in Sunday school one day, and they were talking about accepting Jesus into your heart, and that's the first day I remember accepting him into my heart. I also remember accepting Jesus into my heart multiple times after, because I had some doubt in my heart that I did not actually accept him into my heart. I spoke in tongues about 3 years ago at family camp. An old lady named Joanna came up to me at one of the services during family camp and asked me if I wanted to speak in tongues. I said yes, and she helped me do it, and the Spirit swept over me and I spoke in tongues. I had some doubt that I was making up random things, but later that service, I realized that it was actually God speaking through me. I can see the difference when I'm doing something compared to when God is doing something, so I try to let God handle things instead of me taking them over, though I will admit that is hard for me to let God take over entirely. I'm going on a mission trip next year, and I'm curious to see how God will change me and change others. I'm hoping that during this trip, God helps me bring people to Christ, and that I will see the miraculous things he is doing while I am down there. And today, I thank Jesus for dying on the cross for my sins, so that I can now actually have a relationship with him. And all I have to do is accept him and give my life to him. And that is why today I decided to get baptized and follow Jesus for the rest of my life.
So, Christian faith, this journey is not done alone. And so we've asked everyone who's coming to share their testimony to pick someone special to come and pray a prayer of blessing. So Sam, you invited your dad and Pastor Danny.
Can I also invite my mom up too?
Lord, we bring you this young man who is growing. And we thank you that you have become real in his life. We thank you that his faith isn't in mom and dad, but his faith is in you, Jesus. And because of you, he can come anytime boldly before the very throne of God. I thank you that no matter what storms come his way in his life, that your grace will be upon him. Never forget that when the disciples were panicking and the storm was raging, Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. And that peace of Jesus that passes all understanding would be a part of Sam's life now and forever, that he would always have confidence to come to you in all things, that you would guide his steps, and that you would bless him greatly, and that you would make him a blessing to many others. In Jesus' name.
Jesus, we lift up this young man knowing that you have grand plans for him. He is smart beyond belief, and he is determined. Would you help him to go in your way, your direction? Would you use his hands and his incredible brain to do wonderful things for you? Would you show him even now what you've prepared for him in the future? Because you have a great plan for every single one of us, and you've gifted Sam according to your purposes. I pray that whatever he puts his hand to would be for your glory. And I pray that every day that he walks with you, you would teach him what it means to follow you. Would you reveal yourself to him, not even just in this moment, but increasingly throughout the days of his life? We pray a blessing in Jesus' name over Sam. Amen.
I've been a Christian all my life, and I had a very Christian lifestyle. I was introduced to Jesus at a very young age, and I just believed what I heard and went with it. My grandpa was one of the biggest influences on me. He prayed over me constantly. As I grew up, Sunday didn't really mean anything special to me. It just meant that I got to dress up. That went all the way up to grade 5. Grades 6 and 7 were the years that I needed God the most. Really bad anxiety and depression took over me. I started to question why God made me and why I was still here. My grandpa passed away when I was about 3. That was a really big part of my depression. In grade 6 and 7, Grandpa was my entire world. I didn't know how I could go on with life without him. I would yell and swear at God because he took him away. Then I stopped trying everything. School, my physical and emotional health, my relationships. I started to watch videos of astrology, and I believed it. I also listened to music that affected me greatly. Sometimes it had stars in it, sometimes it was even mocking God. Then I went to YG, a youth getaway. I came back a whole new person. I went there thinking that it was just another Jesus thing. It was so much more than that. The first night that I was there, I wasn't really feeling anything. The next day, I started to understand what the songs meant and why God created me. That night, at the second service, I actually felt God's presence for the first time, and I met when I was singing during worship. It was such an amazing feeling that I don't have words for. During the altar call that night, I was on my knees repenting, and I heard this soft little voice saying, "You are loved, chosen, beautiful, and enough." Everything that I was insecure about. Then Eve came to me and prayed those exact words over me. Since then, I've had this connection with God that makes me have this good feeling inside of me that I also have no words for. It was a pretty life-changing experience.
Lord, I thank you so much for Jocelyn. I thank you for her commitment to you, Lord, for how much she looks for you. I just thank you for those special moments that she had at YG, Lord, where she turned her life completely around and went back to you, Lord. I pray that you always accept us with open arms, Lord, and I pray that you would just hold her in your arms as she makes this commitment to follow you for the rest of your life and proclaim it publicly. I just pray that you would bless her in any times of struggle that come to her next, and I pray that you would just be with her, guide her, and just show her the right path to walk on.
God, thank you for Jocelyn, that she is a beautiful, amazing young lady and a great friend. Thank you that she can publicly declare her love for you and that she has turned her life so that she will follow you straight and forever.
Do you commit following Jesus, making him Lord of your life for the rest of your life?
sweet. And then we just get to keep going. We have way more. If I could get Zalea and Amber. You guys are next. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Who goes first? Zalea, looks like you're up because you're closest to me.
I've always had God present in my life. From a young age, I attended Sunday school, youth group, and Bible camp. However, at the time, my faith was more of a routine than a personal relationship. I knew about God, but I did not truly know him for myself. As I entered middle school, I drifted away completely. God was no longer a priority in my life, and I had hardly thought about him at all. By the time I reached seventh grade, I was struggling deeply with my mental health and found myself in a very dark place, carrying burdens that felt far too heavy for me to manage alone. It wasn't until midway through grade 8 that I began to seek God again. Out of desperation, I asked him to help me with my struggles. And he met me where I was. I slowly began to rebuild my faith, and it started with small, simple steps, like praying and reading my Bible, trying to listen to his guidance. Even though these steps seemed small, they began to draw me so much closer to him. In grade 9, I experienced a turning point and met a whole bunch of new people that encouraged me in my faith. One friend in particular invited me to church here at Five Corners. And I quickly discovered how much I loved being here. It gave me a place to belong and grow, and I build a stronger relationship with God. Since then, my walk with him has become more personal and real, and I have learned that following Christ is not about perfection, but about surrender. Trusting him in both the highs and lows in life, God has shown me that I do not have to carry my struggles alone, because his love and faithfulness will never change. Today, I am here to take the next step in my faith journey and want to fully embrace a new life with God and declare publicly that I am choosing him to be reborn in Christ and live each day guided by his will.
So, I need Janae. Come on out.
Dear Lord, thank you for Zalea, Lord. I thank you that she made the decision to get baptized today, Lord. I pray that as she walks with you, Lord, that you just show her that you're always with her, Lord. I pray that her faith continues to grow stronger, Lord. I pray that you give her strength, wisdom to walk in you publicly, Lord. I pray that she won't be ashamed of you, Lord. I pray that she'll always declare your name, Lord. And I pray that as she meets people throughout her life, Lord, that they see Jesus in her, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, and I pray that you bless her. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
I was born in a non-Christian home and lived there until I was 11. I was moved in and out of foster care because being at home was not safe. The only reason I ever went to church as a kid was because people who cared about me brought me. I always hid under the tables in Sunday school because I was afraid to talk to anybody. Growing up was difficult because the people I lived with are not safe, and because I was stuck babysitting Hope all the time. Because it wasn't safe, I moved to the Fraser's house. At first, we thought it was temporary, but soon it became permanent. After moving into their house, I realized that having a personal relationship with God was important. So with that in mind, I decided to accept Christ into my heart at the age of 11 and decided to live for him. Being in a Christian home helped me build that relationship with God. Being in church and part of youth group helped me grow in my faith because I got to be in a place full of other people who believed the same thing and supported me. YG also impacted my faith because it was a place to worship God, full of other Christians my age that wasn't church. I want to get baptized because I feel like God has been pushing me to take this next step in my faith. Examples of this, while I was at Gardam Lake, people were talking about baptism and God started poking me and saying you should get baptized. I said no. And then morning devotions, I was reading in my Bible, and the topic came up, and again God said, you should get baptized, and I said no. I went to visit my cousins in Saskatchewan, and there was a family camp that we all went to. And in the services, we talked about baptism a bit, and at the end of the camp, a bunch of people, including my cousin, were baptized. And God asked me again to get baptized. I said no. I went home and then went on vacation with my family to the island. And God continued to poke at me, and I finally said yes. So out of obedience to God, I'm making a public proclamation that I'm following Jesus the rest of my life.
Amy.
Father, Father, we thank you so much for Amber and for this step in her faith. We pray your blessing over her as she takes this step, that you would guide and protect her and continue to grow in her. We have seen you work so powerfully in her life. I ask that you would continue to hold her in your hands and that you would reward her richly in this decision. Amen.
Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that I can call Amber my sister. I thank you so much for the blessing that she is to me and to so many other people. I just pray that you would bless her, especially today, as she makes this decision to follow you for the rest of her life and to proclaim that publicly. I pray that you would be with her through the highs and the lows of her life, Lord, and that she would always go back to you and that you would greet her with open arms. I thank you so much for the grace and compassion that you have for all of us, and I pray that you would just bless Amber so richly today, Lord, as she decides to follow you for the rest of her life.
My good friends, Travis and Nicole, come on up, come on up. I'm just so excited. I'm so excited. Okay, Travis, big man, the floor is yours.
Hi, everybody. First of all, I'd like to say I never, ever thought I would see the day that my wife and I would be getting baptized together, and it's amazing, and I'm just very blessed to be here with everybody. I've heard God knocking my whole life, but I was too selfish, too foolish to answer. No matter how many times I ignored it, he just kept coming back, and I'm so grateful he never gave up on me. We're all born with a hole inside of us. I tried to fill mine with everything from hobbies, activities, sports, drugs, alcohol. They would seem to work for a while, but just ended up feeling empty in the end. One day last year, I was working on a vehicle. I was very frustrated, worn out, and ready to give up on everything. I said out loud, "I am done." Instantly, God dropped me to my hands and my knees. I heard his voice inside my head telling me to keep going. I knew without a doubt it was God, it was Jesus, and I immediately said yes. Since I started having a relationship with Jesus, my life has drastically changed. Not all at once, but slowly and steadily. I've changed, my family has changed, and it's amazing. The closer I get to Jesus, the better my life has become. I feel the Spirit. I see God moving. I'm learning to give it to God. I've experienced real peace, real happiness, and I no longer feel that emptiness inside of me. That hole has been filled. I'm ready for the next step. I'm ready to be baptized. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Oh, we're not done with you yet. Stay here. I get to pray for Travis. Why don't you pray with me? Jesus, man, I'm so excited that this young man has decided to follow you. I ask in Jesus' name, would you strengthen him right now? He is a warrior. He is made to carry out your plans. Would you even show him right now what you have for him in the future? Would you place the sword in his right hand and a shield in his left so that he can go out and conquer dragons? I pray in Jesus' name that you confirm him, not just as a husband, but also as a spiritual father to many people in this church. I ask in Jesus' name, would you strengthen his heart so that when temptations come in, when he's tempted to go left and right, instead he would remain strongly in you. I pray, Jesus, that every single time he looks for something else, he just sees you. I pray that no matter what comes his way, he would be strong in your name, that he would be a strong man of God. I pray that wherever he goes, he would have your shoes, your feet, so that where he goes, he brings the good news. He brings this testimony. He brings your strength. I pray that you would use him not just to do physical things, but spiritual things, great things. I pray, would you keep him, not just now, but forever? Thank you for what you've done. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Nicole.
Hi guys, pretty nervous up here. Never thought I'd do this, but I'm so glad I am. I decided to get baptized today to give myself to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I wasn't raised in church or religion, although my mom always told me there was a God, or in her words, a higher power. I come from a very broken family, riddled with abuse, addiction. All I ever knew was to be on high alert and protect my little brothers and my mom when I could. I was angry with this higher power that said, my mom said, would protect us. Why wasn't they? Where was they? Where they weren't there. So I learned to escape through my love of horses, and I found safe spaces that I still have. I cherish those in my memory. My teens, my family dynamic changed. We thought we were finally safe from the monster, the tormentor that was our dad. My stepdad came into my life. I decided again I was going to choose anger, because anger was easier than dealing with how I really truly felt. I started to abuse drugs and alcohol. I had many instances where I have made terrible decisions due to addiction. Today I am still an addict. I will always be an addict. Fast forward, meeting purely by the grace of God, I'm sure I met the love of my life, Travis, my other savior. Travis saw me and sees me and loves and still loves me for all my goodness and all my brokenness. And I thank God for him daily. We were blessed with a beautiful daughter in 2010, despite going through loss of family members. I've decided that right then and there, she is the greatest gift and accomplishment from God, because to have her, we maybe had to lose some, and God blessed us with her. Janae, my other daughter, and Eve found God a few years ago, and then Travis refound his God. They have been my hugest influence. I was still on the fight with it, wanting to know if I should be doing this, until one day, once again at a rock bottom, I gave everything to Jesus, and he answered. I felt in a way I have no words for, and I looked forward to truly feeling the Holy Spirit. I start almost every day still with anxiety, and I now dedicate time in my mornings throughout the days and on my lunch breaks at work, and it calms me, whether I'm reading a scripture, watching a serum, or just doing my daily devotional. I know I have a lot to learn, and I'm excited. I give myself, my whole self, to the Lord and Jesus, the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Good job. Stay right here. Well, if I could have her daughters, both spiritual and physical.
Come on.
Lord, thank you for Nicole. Thank you that I've seen the change in her, Lord. I've seen her in ways that other people haven't, Lord, and I've seen her change because of you, Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for everything you've done in her life. I thank you for everything you've done in their family, Lord, and I pray that you continue to grow. I pray that you continue to work in Nicole, help her forgive, help her to change even stronger. And I pray that she will be publicly faithful in you, Lord. I thank you for Nicole, and I pray that she continues to grow in you.
These twins.
Okay. Thank you, Lord, for my mom. I honestly never thought this day would come, that she comes to know you, Lord. Thank you for showing her that you are a true constant. Though life is not always good, you remain good, and we thank you for that. You are our one constant in life, and thank you for being hers, Lord. Thank you for showing yourself to her. I know that I had many prayers that night asking you to bring my family to you, and I had faith, probably the size of a mustard seed, but you moved mountains with it, so thank you, Jesus, for doing that. I'm so grateful for you. I pray that my mom continues to get to know you on a deeper level, more intimately, and that you just, like, fill her up, Lord. Just let her heart be full of you. Please soften her heart. Let it be tender to you and tender to your will. Make your way her way, and let her just follow you obediently, and just let her knowledge continue to increase in you day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Before we get into the tank, just so you guys know, Nicole has specifically requested that she takes a second in the tank. So I'm not going to pull her out right away. This is planned. Okay.
I love all the notes on the podium here. Darren and Cassie, come and add your notes.
Who's first?
Hey everyone, thanks for coming. Today, I've chosen to follow Jesus because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Through following him, I have found meaning, purpose, and peace. I've always known about Jesus as I've gone to church my whole life, I've even been baptized before, but only because my friends did it too. I never took my relationship with God deeper, and my faith became stale. Because of that, I gave up and walked away from God. I felt lost and alone, which is when I became stressed out, socially anxious, and battled with low self-esteem and self-doubt. Since moving from the Fraser Valley with my little family and finding Five Corners, it felt like a fresh start for me and my faith. Recently, God spoke to me when I was having one of these hard days where I was stuck in my head at work. He said, "Let your guard down." In that very moment, it felt like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders, and I felt peace. I've never had an experience like that before, so I knew this time was different. Since then, I've only become more curious. I still have a long road ahead of me, but I'm excited to see how God will use me and how I can serve Him, serve my family and others.
Hi everyone, my name is Cassie. A little backstory about my life. I was baptized Catholic as a baby. In elementary school, I remember my aunt would sometimes drive me and my cousins to school as my mom, being a single parent, had to work. But every morning before we left, my aunt would read a chapter from the Bible, a page from our daily bread, and when she sent us off to school, she would say, "Jesus loves you." I'd look back at her with a weird expression on my face and think, "Yeah, okay." A few Sundays out of the month, I would also attend church with her. I never fully learned about Jesus or understood anything that was being said. I just had to go and listen. Eventually, I stopped going with her as I didn't see a point. At a very young age, I was hurt by many people in my life, especially one who I thought I was safe with. My biological father was never around, and if he was, it would be because he had a girlfriend and wanted to look like a good dad, but he never was. He was also an alcoholic. I also experienced sexual abuse from him, not just once, but many times. Being so young when this all happened, I thought it was normal. I never told anybody about it, not even my mother. At the age of 12, I got so fed up with him, I decided to tell my mom while we were driving that I didn't want to ever see or speak to him again. I look back at that moment now, literally as I was writing my testimony earlier this week, and truly believe that in a way it was God telling me to get him out of my life. Eventually, I ended up telling my mom all of this at 21. At the age of 17, I was also sexually abused at an unsupervised grad campout that involved alcohol by a boy I have never seen or spoke to. So the rest of high school was extremely rough for me. Being a virgin before this happened, it hit me so hard to the point I became extremely depressed, and I told my mom I didn't want to be here anymore. I got through the depression on my own with the help of my mom and stepdad being there to support, but with everything that happened came flooding back, something I had tried blocking out for years. I started having flashbacks, which hurt me just as much. I was angry at everything and everyone, even at God, constantly asking if there really was a God, why would he let these people hurt me? In my early 20s, I was in a toxic relationship for about a year and a half. During that time, I had my addictions where I drank, and due to the pressure of the guy I was with, I experimented with drugs. I'm not too proud of this short moment in my life, but I know that Jesus has forgiven me. By the grace of God, he brought me and my husband together when I was 23. He knew I needed someone in my life to show me what love was supposed to be and someone who can help me heal. Watching Darren be the best father to our two children has healed parts of me that I never thought would heal. Oh my goodness. I thank God every day for bringing such an amazing man into my life. Before letting Jesus into my heart, I struggled with extremely low self-esteem, anger where even the smallest things triggered me. I got easily stressed and overthought everything. Depression would come and go. I experienced anxiety after having children, which took a huge toll on me as well. I started getting curious about Jesus and what being a Christian was all about after we had our son. We moved from the Fraser Valley to Enderby last October, went to a couple churches out there, but none of them spoke to us, so we stopped going. Then in March this year, we started coming to this church. I remember how warm and welcoming everyone was. I could feel the presence of God pulling me in, but I didn't know how I should feel about it. He knew I needed a friend who could help me find my faith and bring me closer to Jesus, so he brought me to Jose, a constant Christian friend who has been there for me since the beginning. Any questions I have about God, she's able to help me understand. Now here's the exciting part. 2 weeks ago, when Virginia came on stage where God used her to speak to the people, she said, "If you have any traumas, any burdens you've been carrying for a while, lay them down with Jesus. He has forgiven you. He has never forsaken you. He loves you." And I had to leave the service once she was done speaking because I was bawling my eyes out and I could not stop. That message ignited something in me that day. It made me feel more at peace knowing that Jesus loves me and has always loved me. Even though I went through difficult times, he is always there. I just had to find my way to him. That same night, I laid everything out to him and accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I believe 2 weeks ago is when my faith became stronger, where I truly accepted Jesus into my heart. Since that day, I have felt less angry, less stressed. I feel like I can move past what's happened and breathe again. Although some of those things do still pop up from time to time, but Jesus has given me the strength to cope and get through it. Today, I am choosing to be baptized as a reminder that I am a child of God. He loves me and will always be there for me no matter what the situation is. I am ready to trust him and excited to see how he will work through me.
Just want to say that the mom and I are really proud of him and what he's done with his family, Lord. Anyways, Lord Jesus, just want to take this moment, Lord, and just pray for Darren and his family, and just I just really appreciate what he's done, and just this step for him, Lord, is all about you, Lord Jesus, and just let him have this. Let his faith grow a little bit stronger in you, Lord Jesus, and just let it all go.
Jesus, we thank you for Darren. We thank you for what you've done in his life. We thank you for what you're still yet to do. You have so much more for him. You have already saved him. You have already made him secure in you. But I pray in Jesus' name that he would understand what it means to be secure, what it means to be a son of the Most High God. Jesus, would you lift his heart up right now and not just make it whole, but heal his whole self. Where he has deficiencies, would you instead fill that with yourself, with your Holy Spirit? I pray in Jesus' name that he receives more of you, Holy Spirit, so that he can do what you've called him to do. Be a husband, be a father, be a man of God, be a strong worker, even start brand new things and build up from the dirt with his hands what you have ordained to be. I ask that you put in his hands your glory so that whatever he puts his hands to, that it would be for your glory. I pray that his faith, that Cassie's faith as well, together is generational. That what they have, that what they declare is passed on to their children and their children's children and their children's children's children. Would you just continue this blessing? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
God, we praise you for what you've done for Cassie, for bringing her from the darkness into your light. God, I'm so thankful that she is walking with you in all that she's doing, that she's decided to give her life fully to you. God, would you continue to fill her as she learns more about you, as she grows in relationship with you? Would you give her the grace when she messes up? But would you also empower her and equip her to be the wonderful mother and wife she is? Would you give her the discernment? Would you give her the energy? Lord knows we need that. But God, would you continue to be with her in every step that she takes? Would you be the father that she so desperately needs? Would you show her that you love her? Would you never abandon her? God, you promised to never leave us. And so I pray that you show yourself to her every single day for the rest of her life, and that your light would be so prominent in everything that she does. Thank you, Jesus, for Cassie and her little family. And we praise you for what you're doing. Thank you, God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, it wouldn't be a celebration without food, so you are welcome in a moment to join us for lunch. There's plenty to go around. Before we do, I'd like to close us in a prayer of benediction. Jesus, we come before you one more time today in celebration for what you did for us, how you came to save us. And not only did you just come and died on the cross, take our sins, rose from the grave to prove that you are more than enough. You didn't end there, but you gave us your Holy Spirit to live in us, to flow through us, to give us the power to go on the mission partnered with you. Jesus, thank you so much for that. So wherever we are in our journey with you today, we commit to taking the next step. One more step closer to you, one more step in your direction. We honor you because you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.